die Rebellen, Episode 17 und die erste Episode im Jahr 2024. Ist jetzt doch ein bisschen später geworden, als wir ursprünglich mal geplant und gedacht hatten, aber manchmal kommt mehr dazwischen, als einem lieb ist. Heute sind wir trotzdem wieder alle zu dritt anwesend, mit mir dabei die bezaubernde Ratte.
Hallo allerseits.
Und Flo ist auch wieder dabei.
Hallo, ja, ich freue mich, dass wir zurück sind, auch wenn es, wie du schon angedeutet hast, länger gedauert hat, als wir ursprünglich dachten.
Ja, viel passiert irgendwie in den letzten Wochen seit Jahreswechsel. Wir konnten leider den ganzen, den Turnus, den wir vor Weihnachten vorgelegt hatten, mit wöchentlichen Folgen nicht mehr ganz halten. Aber gut, ich denke, die Community wird es uns nachsehen, da wir das Ganze hier ja mehr oder weniger neben all unserem anderen Leben noch hinwegstemmen. Genau, wie ist euch denn so ergangen in den letzten Wochen? Ganz kurz gefasst, wir haben ja noch ein kleines Programm im Nachgang.
Ja, es war ein stetiges Auf und Ab, würde ich sagen, sowohl was die Pressemitteilungen angeht, die erfreulich mehr werden, auch in der richtigen Richtung mehr werden, aber auch die ganzen Krankmeldungen im Kollegen und auch privaten Umfeld waren stetig nervenaufreibend. Ich denke, alle werden die Weihnachtswelle hoffentlich weit entfernt mitgenommen haben, aber die Einschläge sind da und kamen näher. Hat sich etwas beruhigt aktuell, wie man sieht, und wie schon gesagt, erfreulichere Pressemitteilungen oder aufgeschlossenere, aufklärendere Pressemitteilungen werden mehr und mehr. Es gibt mir mittlerweile wieder ein etwas besseres Gefühl. Zwischendrin war ich doch etwas down ob der Nachrichten, aber aktuell, es wird Frühling, es wird wärmer, man kann was draußen machen. Wie gesagt, positivere Nachrichten, die auch Prävention betonen. Das ist so mein aktueller Gemütsstand zur Lage. Wie schaut's bei dir aus, Ratte?
Ja, also über den Frühling freue ich mich auch. Das, was sich da jetzt gerade so andeutet, jedenfalls. Ja, und die Zahlen sind unten. Also das heißt, es gibt ja schon weniger Corona-Infektionen. Das ist natürlich immer eine gute Nachricht. Wobei, ja, also man spricht ja von so 2 bis 4 Wellen möglicherweise dieses Jahr. Und tja, also jetzt mal ganz wertungsfrei bin ich gespannt, wie es wird. Leider wird mein Kind eingeschult. Davor habe ich ziemliche Angst. Ich hoffe teilweise manchmal noch sehr stark, dass es jetzt vielleicht doch die Exit-Welle war. Aber natürlich glaube ich nicht daran. Wir werden sehen. Ja, lasst eure Masken noch ein bisschen auf. Mal schauen.
Genau. Passt weiter auf, testet, nehmt Luftfilter. Wie war's bei dir, Florian?
Ja, ganz okay. Das Jahr hat nett begonnen. Ich meine, wir haben es ja zusammen begonnen mit einem gemeinsamen Silvesterfest, was sehr schön war und uns auch letzten Endes durch Plus Live ermöglicht wurde, das zu tun. Also insofern denke ich gerne zurück irgendwie an den Jahreswechsel. Leider war es danach dann bei uns nicht ganz so schön, da unser Jüngster sich dann in der Kita vermeintlich, sehr wahrscheinlich in der Kita trotz seiner Maske, aber gut, ich meine, er ist ein Kind, ja, es wird nicht perfekt getragen, die Maske, dann doch eine Infektion eingehandelt hat und wir haben hier uns stark isoliert voneinander. Meine Frau hat es dann leider auch zum zweiten Mal erwischt. Und im Endeffekt hatten wir den Jahresbeginn mit der vollen Corona-Thematik hier nochmal zu tun bei uns zu Hause. Das war definitiv nicht so schön. Wir sind Gott sei Dank, soweit wir das absehen können, also meine Frau und mein Sohn, jetzt erstmal wohlauf und ja, die mich und unsere anderen beiden Kinder hat es Gott sei Dank nicht ereilt. Wir konnten uns also hier entsprechend frühzeitig dank PlusLife auch isolieren und darauf einstellen, was da auf uns zukommt. Ja, also insofern, das war so einer der Gründe, warum das jetzt ein bisschen schwierig geworden ist, am Jahresanfang dann auch irgendwie zwischendrin noch Podcast aufzunehmen und so weiter. Da gab es viele andere Dinge, die wir organisieren mussten. Insofern sind wir jetzt auch erstmal froh irgendwie, dass es jetzt hoffentlich zum Frühling hin ein bisschen ruhiger wird mit dem Infektionsgeschehen. Was man natürlich festhalten muss bei all der Freude über die ja niedrigeren Zahlen ist, dass das Niveau, auf dem sich so eine Talsohle jetzt befindet, ist natürlich immer noch sehr hoch. Also wenn man jetzt CentiSurf sich anschaut, da liegt man so im Bereich zwischen 300 und 400er Inzidenz, was natürlich immer noch echt happig ist, ne, im Vergleich zu anderen Vorgängerwellen, die mit Sicherheit eine deutlich bessere Testabdeckung hatten als das, was jetzt derzeit passiert. Ja, trotzdem, gewisser Optimismus ist da und ich glaube, der wird auch ein Stück weit genährt dadurch, dass es eben heute viel bessere Möglichkeiten gibt als noch vor einem oder anderthalb Jahren, also noch weitere bessere Möglichkeiten, sich zu schützen, wie eben beispielsweise das Thema der besseren Tests. Und ja, das führt mich eigentlich auch dazu, was wir heute in der Episode vorhaben. Wir haben uns nämlich Gäste eingeladen, zwei ganz interessante und spannende Gäste, die gemeinsam ja Events organisieren und zwar Covid-safe Events. Das ist vielleicht auch für die Community ein ganz spannendes Thema, dass man sich eben auch trotz der weiterhin vorherrschenden Pandemie und Risikosituationen auch Mittel und Wege entdecken kann oder finden kann, wie man sich trotzdem schützt, treffen kann. Und ja, die beiden Gäste, die wir eingeladen haben, sprechen nicht, oder zumindest einer von den beiden spricht nicht ganz so gut Deutsch. Deswegen haben wir uns darauf verständigt, dass wir das Interview und das Gespräch in Englisch aufnehmen. Wir haben versucht, möglichst langsam zu reden. Ich hoffe, das ist für die Hörerinnen und Hörer da draußen okay. Flo, wir haben auch noch vor, das Ganze zu transkribieren.
Genau, wir werden auf alle Fälle ein Transkript und ein übersetztes Transkript zur Verfügung stellen. Den Link werdet ihr auch in den Shownotes finden dazu, damit man bei Interesse auch auf Deutsch nochmal nachlesen kann, über was wir gesprochen haben. Wir haben uns dagegen entschieden, einzelne Gesprächsfetzen während dem laufenden Interview schon auf Deutsch zu übersetzen, weil es einfach das Interview gebrochen hätte. Aber wie gesagt, das Transkript und die deutsche Übersetzung dazu werden mit den Shownotes nachgereicht.
Genau, und damit wollen wir gar nicht zu viel Zeit damit verbrauchen, uns sozusagen hier heute ja einzufinden und vorzustellen. Ich glaube, das Interview gleich im Anschluss spricht für sich selbst und wir wünschen euch damit viel Spaß. Freuen uns, wenn ihr dadurch vielleicht auf neue Ideen gebracht werdet, was man so alles tun kann in der Community oder für die Community und würden uns natürlich auch sehr über Feedback freuen, wenn ihr schon einmal eine Covid-safe Veranstaltung besucht habt, berichtet uns doch gerne darüber, entweder über Twitter oder jetzt X, wie es so schön heißt, Twix, oder Blue Sky oder auch gerne per E-Mail. Und dann viel Spaß mit unserem Interview mit Lev und Eva. So today we have two very kind and special guests for us and with us. It's Eva and Lev, and they will introduce themselves very soon. And yeah, I love to hear them today and talk to them today because they have a very, very nice project started in Berlin. And so maybe Eva, you start introducing yourself.
Yeah, my name is Eva. I actually do not live in Berlin, but I travel to the events from a different part of Germany. And I met Lev in August 2023, so only a little over half a year ago. And we connected over Discord and over Zoom. And I started driving to the events with my child. And it was very nice actually seeing other masked faces and connecting to other people who also have kids. And yeah, I'm actually from Hamburg, and I was a school teacher, and I wanted a more COVID-safe job, so I transferred to university, but at the moment I work as an online German teacher. So I've dropped in school, in-person teaching altogether, and I'm now full-time on my computer. Yeah. So I don't do school teaching that much, but I miss it a lot. And I miss teaching kids a lot. Now I only teach grown-ups. But yeah, so that's me. I have a small child that does not go to kindergarten or any sort of other child care. So he's at home with us and we take care of him. Yeah, that's all about me.
Thank you, Eva. A very warm welcome to the show. And Lev, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit.
Hello, my name is Lev. I'm quite new to Germany. I've been in Berlin for the last 2 years. So I'm very grateful that this podcast is in English so that I can speak freely. I can understand it, but speaking is still very slow for me. So this is great. I lived half of my life, like the first 20 years of my life in Russia, in Moscow. And then I went to university in UK and lived in London for like 15 years. Yeah. And 2 years ago, I moved to Germany. I started organizing this kind of events this summer. We'll talk more about that soon.
Thanks. Also nice having you here on the show. We have chatted already because I saw when you started advertising your events or starting to find people who would love to join in. And I liked the idea from the very beginning. So we promoted already some of your events here in our podcast. And just give us a brief overview. What kind of events do you do? What do you mean with COVID safe events?
Yeah, what makes an event COVID safe? Like, it's, of course, it's not 100% COVID safe. But we provide several layers of protection. We do the Swiss cheese model. Like, everybody is wearing a mask indoors at all times. Outdoors, you're not required to wear a mask. And we also test everybody on the door with PlusLife. We do a pool test of PlusLife. And there also are air purifiers around. 25 liters per second per person, at least. And that together, in my opinion, minimizes the risks of COVID quite a lot. And there's also the content as well. What do we do? And just because you live a COVID safe life, you know, it's very horizontal kind of cross section of society. It doesn't mean anything about your hobbies and what you like to meet people for. We meet for board games, meet for techno parties, meet just for socializing. We met for live music. We have some singers who sang in a mask for us. And we have some more ideas for events to do. But mainly just a place for people to meet. Regardless of what your risk level, how many precautions you take in normal life, I never ask anything about that. Just come in, you get tested, you wear a mask, you're okay, wear filters around, you're welcome. This creates this kind of shared social space. And that's what I really like about it.
I think at some point in time I have to travel to Berlin as well, because that's a thing that I really like to see. How did you come up with the idea? You mentioned you've been in London before, so you're here for 2 years, so that means you also experienced how Great Britain and London is handling or not handling COVID. Did you have these kind of events seen somewhere else? Is this something you just really missed, partying and having people around, and then that's the thing you come up with? Or how did this idea incarnate?
Yeah, like I spent 2020 and 2021 actually on a small Canarian island. It's like an advantage of like reading Twitter a lot, that you can sort of, you know, expect the pandemic to last a long time. And there, like 2020, yeah, like I had some friends and we did hang out together. Like lockdown was not so strict as it was in cities. And also I haven't lived this collective trauma, so I kind of dodged the bullet in that respect, that request. But yeah, like I was just missing hanging out with people, and I am a social person. Yeah, I just like organizing events. I used to organize events before on different things, like contact improvisation events, or like, I know I used to be like open source community maintainer. I would organize coding events with open source. So yeah, just kind of easy for me, like volunteering in some other organizations. But of course, like it started kind of slowly. I think about a year ago, I was looking for people who are also doing COVID precautions, or COVIDing, as they say in English, and found like some people that I knew from before pandemic also COVIDing, like met up with them a bit, board of Plus Life from person who was on the last podcast, and we met and we talked a bit as Plus Life, like boring a Plus Life is like the gateway thing, you know, into doing more things, because once you meet somebody in person, something happens and you get some trust and you talk about it. And then just like some other people kind of joined, and like, okay, like how many people do you think are there in Berlin who are COVIDing? And yeah, and I sent about 200 messages on COVID meetups. And it was July, so it was easy to meet outside. We went to this like open air bar, which is on this former airfield in Berlin. It's just like super good air. The toilets are there, the drinks are there. So it was very easy to pick a venue, and I didn't have to pay anything. We just met on some tables outside. And I think at that moment, like 15 people came, and everybody was like shocked. How can we get 15 people in one location, all masking outside? And then, okay, like, what do we do? Like, okay, summer is okay, but what about the winter? So we have to prepare for the winter, look for a venue. In August, we already were in some venue which is winter proof. And the starter all kind of started getting rolling. Yeah, I just paid for the venue. I wasn't sure if anybody would show up, but I just paid for it. And yeah, people ask me, like, why did you spend the money on it? And I'm like, well, do you know how much therapy costs? Do you know what are the mental health and physical health, you know, risks of being feeling isolated all the time? So that's how it started. I think just some other people encouraged me. And they didn't, they participated, but not as much as I thought they would.
So how many people are you roughly, you just told you started with 15 people. Are they still in? Did the number increase? Is it maybe 100 now? I've no imagination of how many people you would reach in Berlin with such a thing.
Our last event was 25, and including volunteers. So it is growing. Yeah, the trend is upwards, which is good.
I can imagine it will even grow more in summer. Maybe some still have concerns going indoors in winters, but for the summer events, I can just... I never was there, but I have a good feeling.
Thank you.
But Eva, you told us in the beginning that you traveled from Hamburg to be part of one of the events. So how did you connect with Lev then, or with this kind of events?
I was actually on an international Zoom that was advertised on Twitter, and then it was like being like ganged up on, like tons of people just wrote me, are you already on the Discord? And then I was like, no, what's the Discord? And I then joined the Discord channel, which Lev was also a part of. And then I saw that there was like a channel about real life meetings, which was what I was really, really missing. And I love Berlin, so it was not really a problem. And I also have the privilege of owning a car. So it was like, okay, when can I go and meet some real people wearing masks? And then I just wrote Lev, I think, for him to tell me the address. And I also, I think I like volunteered. I could just drive some of the equipment. It's not a problem. We're with the car anyway. And that's how we just like, we met on the internet and we just met up to pick up some equipment, like air filters and plus life machines. And we started talking. And I guess, yeah, that's how we really connected to each other. And the group and all the resources were really helpful because due to the fact that we take full-time care of a small child, we don't really have that much time to read up on all the stuff. It's always like between things. You read up on Twitter, oh, okay, that mask works, or oh, that test is good, but it was never like an extensive research or anything. So it was so, so helpful to like see a running plus life machine, which I had never heard of before August. I'm ashamed and embarrassed, but that was how it is. But to like really finding out how it operates with a big group of people and how you can increase safety. Even, I mean, it's hard testing small kids, but it works with like the help of other people. So it was really nice to also see from the start that the events are also child-friendly, parent-friendly. I think at the first event Lev organized, it was also specifically for small kids. So it's very, very nice and kind to be welcomed into a different town, in a community that you have not been part of, and being welcomed from the start. That was such a nice experience to this day.
When you started, or at the time that you started, what was your prospect of the pandemic? So what did you think would happen? Was it more or less clear to you that we won't be off the hook in a few months or years?
Yeah, I don't think I was thinking about the future so much. It was more about what was happening, like. I mean, with all the precautions being cancelled in Germany, like I kind of moved to Germany in more like January 22 because there were masks and there were tests and stuff. That seemed really good. Mm-hmm. And then sort of all this disappearing. That was more like how it happening in the present. And at that time, yeah, like I also was living with a partner and they were not on the same page with me about COVID. So it was like, okay, the less precautions they are mandated, the less precautions they would do. So it was getting difficult and quite isolating. And also people around me would stop doing that. Yeah, that was the most, what was more hard for me. The future, yeah, like, I don't know, even right now, the range is quite big. Like some people say there will be a vaccine in 1 year, maybe in 2 years, maybe it's not going to work. So it's not so clear. I want to remain optimistic. So it's like, yeah, so it's like optimistic means 2 years. And I want to enjoy this 2 years still, you know, I don't want to be in the freezer for 2 years. I want to stay safe and enjoy them.
And I think what you just said is an important thing. Every time you tell people that you still wear a mask or that you do some kind of testing or that one forbids you have even air filtration at home. They all think, yeah, but how long do you want to isolate yourself? And we're like, so no, we are not isolating. Why you think we're isolating? Why you think we're just sitting at home? We're doing a lot of stuff. We're meeting people. they test before. That's the secret. Huh? I think it's very, very important to spread that you can even organize such events in a safe way. And there, a lot of people still are cautious, but not isolating. I think that's a very, very important message.
Yeah. From our own experience, we can say that we haven't talked about this before since this is the first recording we do in this year. But also we met with our families and all together and had a New Year's Eve together as endemic rebels. Yeah. And we could do this because we had the confidence in being tested with a very good testing device like the PlusLive is, and also at air filtration and so on. And since we have kids with us, smaller kids, yeah, who are basically used to wearing masks, but at that few days, yeah, we were isolated before. We were isolated all together, yeah, at that time. So we didn't wear masks, yeah, being together. And I think this is something where everybody has to come to an individual risk assessment, of course, yeah. But we wouldn't have done this if we weren't confident enough that testing every day with PlusLive and before being isolated a few days wouldn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really fascinating because it's so easy.
Yeah.
It's just this. I mean, yeah, okay. Testing the people with PlusLive in advance of every event. How long does it take for 20? Do you have 5 PlusLive machines, or how many do you have?
Yeah, like last event, I mean, we had 10.
Okay.
Because like at first I would rent them, quick. And now people just bring their own. Because but they got it because they first saw it in an event. They could see it, they could operate it, and then they buy it. And now the community, we don't have to rent the PlusLives anymore. People just bring their own and they run. So we didn't even use all of the machines we had last time.
But cool. Even the renting was possible.
But it's just like, yeah, like there's a person in Berlin who can, so has quite a lot of them.
Okay.
Florian has brought up the point of meeting without masks. And like, there is a niche for that. Like, people are, there's somebody in Munich, for example, who's organizing a meeting where masks are optional. And I think we'll see some events like that. I personally see some that they're higher risk than the events that we do. And specifically because for close contact, if you talk to somebody in the breathing sphere, you know, like if you can smell their breath, then there's only one point of failure there. It's only the test. And the test is not done by me. It's done like as a participant, it's done by somebody in some room and you do it quite quickly. Like if there's one mistake and a single point of failure, then that's the ever whole, you know, security is gone out of this close range interaction. And I really like having a mask on my face when I'm there. So I will have if I go to the optional event, even if there's PlusLive and filters, I will still have a mask on my face. Yeah. Now I still have this mental feeling of being isolated, which is very easy for me. For some people, they're not affected by this, but I am very sensitive to kind of standing out. Then I'll be wearing a mask and some other people will be not. And I'll have to like think, should I not? Should I do? And just the same loop that I have when I'm in public on a bus right now.
at the end, at such event, there are still foreigners and you don't know how serious they take it. So the thing that we did, we know each other for years now.
Mm-hmm.
We know if someone tells they isolated before and they tested enough, then we can trust it. Of course, it's such a still public event. It's absolutely fair to say there's this one point of failure.
Yeah, like we don't assume, like that's the thing that we trust in our precautions on the door so much that we don't assume anything about your past, you know, what you did outside of the event. And this is quite nice.
And I think, yeah, as you said, I think this is one of the very cool points in that, because otherwise, you can only meet with people who you really know and who you really trust. And this usually takes a lot of time to come to this point. Yeah. I've unfortunately, me and my family have lost a lot of friendships. Yeah. Due to the fact that we had trust in them and the trust was eroded due to the fact that they started, you know, like you said, with your partner or ex-partner, well, the precautions, the regulatory precautions were eroded. And so they eroded on the side of private, precautions. And, so you come to the point where you say, well, if I meet people, I will wear a mask. If I don't know them, or if I know them, but I know they do something else, I will wear a mask. So I like the idea of your events very much, because you just, yeah, you try to secure it as much as you can. And of course, I fully support that, in such events, everybody should also wear a mask. Yeah. Because it also, brings a point up where you can include people who wouldn't go to such an event if there was mask wearing was only optional. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are many people who like want to cosplay 2019 in some ways and like share the meals together and drinks together and all this stuff. So in terms of making it popular, you probably will attract more people if you say masking is optional, because you only like leave this passive, you know, ways of protection. Just not going to be as safe, in my opinion. Different kinds of people. Yeah, it's also different kinds of people as well.
Yeah.
Yes, but some people just can't choose if this could be optional or not. So we all know this, I don't know, flip chart of how you wear a mask with these particles that come out of the mouth for aerosols or airborne particles. And yeah, the highest safety is only if both people or everybody really is wearing a mask. And this whole tragedy about wearing a mask, what do you think about it? So, Lev, you said you don't feel good if you wear a mask on the bus, for example. But, yes, what are your thoughts on, I don't know, people questioning wearing masks all the time? It's kind of absurd at the moment in the media. That's my perception of it. So what do you think about that?
I really want to answer it, but I also saw Eva's hand.
So I have witnessed, a lot of harassment. Also, there's like another different layer when you're like alone with a small child, like that people can see is below school age and it's wearing a mask also outdoors, because we also mask outdoors. Like the second we leave our apartment, we are with a mask and we keep it on also on the playground, like in outdoor spaces, except if it's like a forest and there's no one except us. Yeah. And you face a lot of like harassment. So these spaces that Lev has created also help with the fact that you can go there and you will not get harassed. And I kept saying to Lev that the first time we drove to Berlin, it was like a hot summer day. And I was just like in the car and my euphoria was just rising, because I was like, yeah, I'm going to COVID safe town. No one will harass me on the street in Berlin. But of course, that wasn't the case. People were staring at us still, but it was like the atmosphere changed, because I knew that day I will meet people who will not harass me. They won't say anything. They won't say I'm abusing my child or that I'm torturing him by forcing him to wear a mask and stuff. So yeah, only that level that has helped so much. And when you're in these groups, you get like, you see pictures of other kids wearing masks. You see kids on the playground on a picture and they're wearing a mask. And you're like, yeah, I'm not weird. I'm not torturing my kid. It's just, it's okay. I can keep doing it and nothing bad will happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I can feel it.
Thanks, Eva, for your kind words. And sorry to hear about your experience of harassment. So yeah, now I would like to answer your question, Rete. How do I feel about wearing my mask in public? Personally, I love my mask. It allows me to optimize my health a lot while doing things that I like. Like avoiding infection is optimizing my health, in my opinion. And as my dear friend and fellow COVID activist, Connor Brown, often points out, how wearing his mask is his contribution to optimizing his health. Like, I do sports in a mask. I wear a mask at the climbing gym. However, it's still a big issue for me. How do other people react to it? And what helps me to deal with this issue is knowing that it's not just about masks. That people who use other kinds of aids experience the same misunderstanding from the public. I really like this funny writer, Alice Wong, and she's also a disabled person and disability activist. In her book, Year of the Tiger, she's telling her story of how her body was changing and the cost of bipedal mobility became too high. So she started using an electric wheelchair. And she felt super happy about it. And the story of her happiness about becoming an autonomous human being again, she still notes the negative reaction of other people. They just don't get her. And here's a clear analogy for me. The cost of breathing unfiltered air has become too high for me because of this pandemic. So now I use my mask. And I like it. And other people find it scary and it's kind of expected. And people find wheelchairs scary. You know, hearing aids.
Yeah. Yeah, I can share this experience with doing sport in a mask. I actually go to some sort of fitness studio. It's a big hall with very large doors. So from spring on, they have the doors open. But yeah, I wear my mask all through this sport lesson. And wow, it was hard at the beginning. Getting to this community as myself with a mask. But I stick to it and it becomes easier and easier. And yeah, I don't know. I don't care anymore. And this scientific papers get deeper and deeper into what COVID really is. And every time I read that, I think, well, okay, you know why. And the gap between me or us and the people we meet, this gap of knowledge, yeah, it's some sort of fascinating to me. But of course, it's also very, yeah, you have to be careful about not being sad about it or depressed. Yeah. But, yes, maybe we will do some events around here.
Looking at us, no offense to anyone, I think no one of us is at an age where we will start a career as a sports pro anymore. But I think that's exactly the place where we will see masking starting soon again. I think I already mentioned it in some of the former podcasts. So not getting COVID will be the new doping. That's what I foresee. And I think that's the place, really, the sports pros where we'll see masking coming more and more and more as soon as they really get aware that this ultimately will destroy their careers and lives.
But the general public will then say, well, it's only the professional sports stars who need this. It's not me. I'm fine. And they will degrade all over all the time, a little bit, 1%, 2% per year.
If they start, the fitness community will pick it up again. And then
yeah, absolutely.
Fully start to be more cool, at least.
Yeah.
So they use fitness tracker. They do so much for their health. And if they see the pros caring for it, because it really messes you up, I think then still a long progress, of course, but that's my hope.
It will be strange for the people that this protection measures come from the people that are seen as the most healthy in our society. Yeah, they are mostly soldiers in Germany and athletes. So this will be really strange, I think.
I mean, the more capillaries you have, the more you are at risk.
Yeah, I remembered an Instagram post I saw that was like of a martial artist, and it was like a film, part of film they were screening, and you could see the cast members in the background. So it was like a behind the scenes shot, and everyone was in a high quality head strap mask. And if you are not super careful, you could just overlook them. They're like in the background. But there were like several very nervous comments below this Instagram post that were like, why are they in like masks? And people were like replying and saying, oh yeah, it's because someone was sick on the set or something, like excuses basically. And I was like there smirking. I was like, oh, I know why, but you don't. Yeah, it reminded me of that because it was like a super well-known martial artist screening a very like a blockbuster Hollywood movie. Yeah, it was very funny to me and tragic, of course. Yeah.
Everywhere where missed time at work plays a very big role and is financially a disaster. that's the places where you see masks being used at first. Definitely. And this is obviously also true for sports stars and so on, because when they miss a game, when they miss a few weeks of training or whatever, yeah, it messes up their career. So absolutely right.
I mean, it's a geeky point, but I'm curious what kind of masks they would wear, specifically if the mask they would wear would have an exhale valve. Like when I do sports, I actually wear an exhale valve because I'm the only one in the whole, you know, climbing gym who is wearing a mask. But for our events, we don't allow exhale valves. Like you see like 20 people dancing techno, sweating inside their masks, and then just like going outside for, you know, to change their mask to something which is less wet and more dry. Like you see like, okay, like this is community care. Like I'm willing to sweat and maybe like have to wash my face more often just, you know, so I can protect you. Okay, that's really nice to see.
Yeah, so that was a question coming up to my mind regarding your events. So you said you do a variety of different events. So I think last summer you also started with a dancing class or something like this. So where people could get quite close, and also I think if I you said children were around and so on, so everybody was wearing masks, also children, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And so when they do this inside, that's clear, but when they go outside, they take off the mask and have hold distance to each other, or how does this work then?
Like outside space is not considered event space so far, even though the new venue actually has a playground. So we'll see. But like, we have a new venue now, which we haven't checked out completely yet. But usually all of our events are inside. The one event we did outside, which was like in the bar table, is where we were masked on around each other. But, and this is the whole thing of like, where does the event actually start? Because what usually happens is that you come in and, you know, somebody comes up to you and offers you a swab. We usually offer you two or three swabs, and which we take from you. You swab yourself, and then you wait for your test results. And could be, you know, half an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending on how logged we are, and like, yeah, like if you need to break the pool, what's actually going to happen. And what happens during this time? This time you are super excited. You're outdoors. People around you are also interested in COVID safe events and really want to talk to them. And, you know, some people are wearing masks, some people are not. You don't know if they're positive people or not. Like, that's where we actually give a very good warning that usually people test positive on the door. Have like, you know, if it's people come to there because they're interested in COVID safe events, but that doesn't mean that they can do be COVID safe. If the wave is really big, it's really hard to do it. Some people have teenagers in school who don't mask. Some people have carers come into the house who don't mask. You know, like other people that they're flatmates, you know, like it's just impossible. So this kind of this testing zone is not considered a part of our event. Just, okay, you can talk, if you just, you know, make your own risk assessment, but this is what we tell you, that there are probably are a couple of positive people here, because that's what we've seen historically. And then this task of like telling somebody that they're positive, when you know that they're interested in COVID safety and probably know that from previous events, that's a really hard task. Like, that's probably the hardest part of this whole event. And we try to do it very carefully. It's usually falls to me as like the organizer that they met before when they were buying a ticket, you know, some other contact that we had already with them. And I take them aside, you know, so that it's a private thing. And I, you know, we talk very closely and we're both masks. And it's still kind of hard for me to talk to somebody who is, I know is positive. And we are just like, you know, a meter apart of wearing masks. And I tell them that, you know, that test showed up, like they were, the pool that they ended up was positive. We broke the pool into individual tests and the individual test turned out to be positive. So we're quite confident at that stage that it's a real positive. And yeah, and offer them advice about, you know, Paxlovid and air filters, like how to isolate well. Yeah, and then after that, we just announce that, you know, sometimes we announce, sometimes we don't even say anything, we just want to give the privacy to that person. And then they leave and the event just keeps going.
Okay, so it sounds as if this has already happened sometimes. So it's not just a theoretical thing that you're telling. And how the reaction of the person usually is understanding, and they say, well, it's fine for me that I have to leave now, or they are obviously maybe a bit shocked that they are positive, because otherwise they wouldn't be there. Yeah. So what was the, is it okay if you let us know how the reaction of those persons come up?
Yeah, one person was shocked and they like leaving very quickly, and they were kind of like just wanted to leave as soon as possible. The other person was like, yeah, I'm not so sure. I only came here because I don't really have a plus life. And like, I just wanted to test and just to be sure about it. So like, that was fine, you know. Somebody else might have been annoyed of them that like they had exposure and they still came, but I was so confident in like our precautions and I was fine with that, you know, that it shouldn't be about what you do beforehand. That's a zero trust space, which is advantageous in this case. And that, in that case, the person's partner tested negative. And because we could like give them advice on air filters and stuff, like the partner stayed negative, which was actually really good.
Okay, cool.
You know, yeah. Early detection enough to like the transmission was prevented. And this is the best outcome of this. Also, like how we treat people who test positive, that's actually a good, you know, test of how good we are as a community.
And so you say that usually you test in pools, which is efficient, obviously. So how large would you set up a pool?
Yep. So three swabs go into the same plus life pool. And the second swab that we take for this person goes this little bag with, you know, frozen things. So we keep it in the freezer. We only realized that when we had a positive test and we had to break the pool. So we had to find this other people who were like one person was positive there and two other people were just there, strangers. We had to find them, take them out of the waiting area, you know, swab them again. Everybody could see them being swabbed again. They were all super stressed because like, why did it get swabbed again? Just unnecessary stress. And then they all left. Even though only one person tested positive in the pool, but they also so stressed that they left.
Yeah.
So the last time we had it, like we had a positive pool, we had things in the freezer, we just took them out. And the person who, other people who were in that pool, they didn't have any stress that day. They just kept on, you know, to the event. And this was really nice. You know, they didn't have to spend 35 minutes thinking if they're positive or negative.
But that also means that the event starts wave by wave, let's say like that. Or do all the people wait outside until everyone's tested it? I guess no, it's like a wave by wave event.
Yeah, it's, everybody waits, arrives at the same time. The plans to arrive at the same time, in reality they don't. And yeah, so it's kind of works out organically that it's kind of spread out, the testing. Now we're experimenting with new things. A lot of people have a Plus Life machine now, so we can do Zoom testing on the day. I have volunteers who don't even live in Berlin, but they really want to support COVID community, and they're willing on the day of the event just watch people test, you know, that they put it in their nose and then into the tube and then put it in the machine. So that's actually makes life much easier. We also want to go to people's homes if they don't have a Plus Life machine on the day of the event. To if somebody has an ECFS, I don't want them to wait in the rain for an hour, and there might be no place to sit down, and like, you know, like it just makes it very inaccessible. So we want to find other ways to do it. And yeah, like in March we'll do Zoom testing for the first time, see how that goes.
Okay, that's really innovative.
It's safer.
Yeah.
I remember when I was testing the kids in the kindergarten and their parents. Some of the parents didn't want to have their kids tested, so we said, okay, then the parents can come to be tested. Mm-hmm. And I did this just, I don't know, with a mask and gloves or something. They swapped themselves and yes, then a short time ago, I saw this article of Isabella Eckerle. She had an article in any newspaper, and she had a photograph of herself in her lab, which is a BSL-3 lab. And I thought, oh, well, okay. And I stood there. It was outside. I tested the children and parents outside, but nevertheless, it was just, I just wore a mask and had some Algovir nose spray. And so, yeah, we really have to watch out for ourselves if we are doing such things. Do we?
It puts a lot of pressure on finding the perfect venue, because if you imagine a venue that is like in a big building at a busy street or something, where do you install the testing area if there's no safe outdoor space? We have had this very good venue that had like a big outdoor area that could even be closed by a door, so you have like an indoor garden area. But what mm-hmm. if you don't find a venue like that? Where does everyone wait? How do you do the swabbing so that you have enough space from other people if it's only a small area? So finding a venue is a challenge. Finding the outdoor area, making it accessible for everyone is like a huge challenge. But when I first arrived at this venue, I was like, oh my God, it's perfect. It has like this outdoor space. It's everything is thought of. It's genius. Yeah,
that is nice. Of course, you have to remove your mask to put a swab into your nose and mouth. And we really encourage people to swab themselves. We don't swab them. And somebody gave me a lecture on body autonomy and how it's a life skill. And I was like really convinced by that. So I really appreciate all those people who give me suggestions about how to make it better. But you come there, we give you swabs. The swabs come in a little tube. And you walk, you know, some meters away and you swab yourself and then you come back with them. So it's makes it safer for everybody.
But still, and as you said, so there is this small moment of where failures can happen. Yeah. So if somebody doesn't swap enough, I know that PlusLife has a very good, level of detection and so on. But still, if somebody doesn't do it good enough, then there is some risk. And that's the reason why obviously masks would be the appropriate way to secure the event as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Like PlusLife has a control challenge for beta capsaicin, I think, which all mammals have. But yeah. If I put three swabs into one tube, then if one person swabbed well and two other people didn't, then I would not see that. That's a downside of, you know, pool testing. It makes it much cheaper and much faster. But yeah, there are some downsides to this.
Yeah.
But if you want to make event more safe, there are many more things that we could do. Like we could test for RSV and flu with PlusLife. You know, we could like, you know, like just with PlusLife, they like, I think, I don't know how many 10 packs, different viruses and pathogens we can test on. So it's just like, it makes no limit to how much we can prevent. But, you know, COVID is still the most prevalent thing people are most afraid of.
Yes, and I think from my perspective, we are used to several other pathogens due for our lifespan, so to say. Yeah, so before 2020, you know, you had flu, you had RSV, and things like, and all are bad. Yeah, don't get me wrong, all are bad, but our life experience with those pathogens was in a way that I didn't need to wear a mask before 2020. Yeah, I know there were people who wore masks and it's okay. Yeah, and if they need it, and maybe we should have all worn masks before 2020 in a flu season and so on. But still, the pathogenicity of COVID, due to the fact that it spreads with aerosols and really high levels of a virus is in those clouds of aerosols. Yeah, this is something I would say quite new. Yeah, from that perspective. So I can imagine that securing an event with other kinds of tests is also good. Yeah, but for me, I think SARS is still the main pathogen which I don't want to see in an event. Yeah. So just a question, because you said making pool tests makes it cheaper. So in what are roughly the expenses of such a event? So is it something which is very expensive for the people to go to? Is it something where you say, well, if you go to a normal techno party, it's more or less the same level of expenses that you have to think of? Or
yeah, I mean, I think it's, in my opinion, it is quite cheap. So that's like €2 per person for a test, which is, if you put, you know, PlusLife cartridge costs €6, you put three people in it, okay, it's €2 for a test. Then there are air filters, we rent them. There's a person who has loads of them, so we rent it from them. It's like another €1.50 per person for air filtration. That's €3.50 altogether. Then, okay, the mask. If you have to buy a mask, it's okay, €3 for an Aura, you know, like the best mask ever made. So, okay, like, you know, like €6.50 altogether. On top of like compared to how much you would pay to entry for a club, like it's really very small. I mean, if you want to buy air filters, it might be like €10 per person. If you want to provide, you know, 30 liters per second per person, the ASHRAE latest 4:1 norms. So it's like, it's actually not that expensive. There's some logistic involved, like you need to get them, transport the air filters and there and back, but it's now it's kind of like we have our routines fleshed out, so it's actually not that hard. And yeah, I want to show, like, this is an event that is fun, but it's also activism. And the point of activism is that it's very easy and cheap to make safety.
Absolutely.
Plus Life is not like an expert, doesn't need an expert to operate. It's PCR machine is really hard to operate. We tried once with a PCR machine and it was really hard to use. And we had to like wait until we collect everything to press her on. It was impossible. The Plus Life, it has one button. Like anybody can do it and eventually learn to read the curves as well. It's also not that hard. So like, yeah, like, and I've wrote a 15 page guide, but maybe you only need like 2 or 3 pages of it to actually know how to organize these events, which have a Swiss cheese model. There. Yeah, I'm getting excited as I talk about this. That is like, yeah, it's an activism in 2 ways. Like, first to show how cheap and safe it is, cheap and easy it is to actually be safe. And secondly, that COVIDing people have fun. That fun is important to us. It's not just like, you know, isolating yourself at home and like hiding in your basement. It's actually like we do want to have fun and even social fun, which involves other people.
The guide you just mentioned, did you open source it somehow? So can people reach out to you that also now think, okay, cool, COVID safe event is something that I want to organize in my own city?
Yeah, absolutely. I posted it on Twitter. It's like a Google Doc. I think it's got, I don't know, 40,000 views already. Yeah. And that's, I'm really happy to receive feedback from people who don't live in Berlin or like, you know, live in like Mexico and they really want to organize a COVID safe event in their city. Like, that's something that makes me very happy.
Yeah.
That's, I want to make it very simple, very easy to copy. Like, this is just the protocols. I mean, you need, yeah, Plus Life machines, air filters, wristbands to measure yellow for swab taken, green for negative test passed, and just like clear rolls. Yeah, I want to make it very easy to copy.
So if it's fine for you, we will link it also under podcast show notes.
Absolutely.
So yeah, who knows, our first English podcast maybe brings us also our first non-German speaking listeners. We will spread the word of the COVID safe events.
Yay.
Yeah, the thing is what you mentioned before, if you are already addressed by people from other countries, is there some kind of, I don't know, community for setting up COVID safe events already, or are you one of the first on the planet who does it? Or,
I mean, there are commercial companies who do it. I think screen something. Yeah, I don't know exactly what their protocols are, and who knows which event is safer. Yeah. I mean, there's Davos conference.
Yeah. But I think this is quite expensive.
I think they'll also be COVID safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know any media coverage about COVID safe events?
No, because that's one of our future plans. Like, I've been waiting for this. I really want a journalist to come and visit our event. Of course, with like conditions of anonymity of participants and like, you know, that we can see what's been published. But yeah, like, I really would like some journalist to come and see how easy it is.
Yeah. But that would be another part of the activism, that people can read about it. And
somebody read about it and they said, it's like, I read that you wrote, because I write, why do we meet in person at all? Because it's a risk, you know, why would I take a risk? And my arguments there were that like joy is a form of activism. Like, I get joy from being other people and sharing it together. And somebody read it and they were like, okay, like, I think about my daughter, that when she grows up masking, then there will be other people, you know, around her. She will not be alone. And I was like pretty happy to hear this.
And I don't know, you don't touch each other. I don't know how to say it in English. But the presence, to be next to somebody, this is another channel of communication. So yes, I can really understand why. I mean, this experience we had on New Year's Eve. It was really fun and relaxing. And I don't know, can't describe it. But it's a difference to meet up online or in presence. There is a difference. And it also carries hope that that you can cope with it better and better. I don't know.
Absolutely. There were several times, I think, when, you know, you come to the point where you think, well, why do I do it? I mean, I always know why I do it, because it's for my kids, basically. Yeah. So if I was alone, I don't know if I would be that COVID cautious at all. I'm honest here. But definitely my kids drive me to be that way, because I don't want them to get infected from anyone or from myself, because I don't know what happens in the future once they get reinfected and reinfected. So, but nevertheless, there are times when you think, well, another friendship has broken down, yeah, due to the fact that I'm still COVIDing. Why do I do it? And then I meet people like you and others online or talking to them, and this gives us or me strength in, yeah, that's the right path, because there are other people doing it, and this kind of strength, I would say it's much larger if you really meet the people in person and be with them and see them doing the same thing, and you can talk to them about it, and nobody cares that you're wearing a mask or that you're doing this stuff, because it's just normal for each of them, yeah. And I think that's really a very, very important point for the time to come, because if you still isolate and be on your own with that, yeah, you most probably have those thoughts that I sometimes have all the time. Yeah, why do I do it? So that kind of activism, as you said, joy, meeting other people, showing it's possible, that's really, really important. Definitely, yeah.
I was just thinking about encouraging other people to do the same, and what I see is a little bit of a lack of safe spaces for children, because we all know that childcare is hard to navigate, and it takes a lot of private activism, private costs, a lot of resources to make childcare accessible. And even then, your child might be the only one who is even wearing a mask or even cares about things like air filters and stuff. But what I would like to encourage other people to do, or to build alliances, parents building alliances, opening a child group, a play group or something. That would be my hope for the next few months leading up to summer, that I or someone else can organize a COVID safe play group and stuff. I mean, it's not only the kids. I'm a teacher, and I know a lot of people who were teachers who miss their jobs so much and have so many ideas of activities they could organize and do. Yeah, and I would love to see that more when organizing COVID-safe events.
That's a thing that I actually discussed just a few days ago with some persons. Why is none of these teachers, for example, funding a COVID safe school? Probably because they do not connect, because I think there will be enough teachers and also preschool teachers, at least in the big cities, sitting around waiting again for their jobs. So if they just could connect, of course, it's question of time, and you have to organize it, and it's costly, but there are other schools founded. So I have still the hope that there is some movement in founding this COVID safe schools, preschools, or as you mentioned, be just a play group. I tried this, by the way, 2.5 years ago, to somehow found a COVID safe play group, and really no one joined. I tried all the channels you can find, no one. We were the only persons in my hometown. And I cried out my frustration on Twitter. That's at least where Florian and Ratte found me at the end. So it was a big plus for me, but I unfortunately did not manage to found this group. But maybe it's worth another try. So 2.5 years have passed, so maybe I give it another shot.
I think it strongly depends on the region where you live. That's one part of the story. If it works out or not, because if it's a very dense region like Berlin, Hamburg, or the larger cities, I think you will find enough individuals who think about the same. Yeah, as I think, Lev, you said this before. It's a cross section through the society that we see here, more or less. And so if the whole group of people living in a certain region is large enough, you will find enough people. If it's not that dense, it will be quite hard. And the question also is, how far will people go or drive, yeah, to such an event? So I think, Eva, you're more or less driving from Hamburg to Berlin is also quite a long ride, yeah, especially with a small child. So not everybody can afford this or does have the time for that. And I think building up a community and which sticks together still is the hardest part here. But you already mentioned it, one of you, that also in Munich somebody is setting up something like that. So maybe it starts to grow, yeah, in several regions if somebody tries it and sees what happens. Yeah, it's good. So hopefully our talk today will build up confidence to other people that trying it out and finding a venue for it and setting something up, even if it's only for 5 or 6 people, will be quite a good start.
Yeah, like one of the questions we had is like, what advice would I give to somebody how to start?
Yeah,
this in-person events, and I mean, it's the broader spectrum. It's just very hard to start new relationships since pandemic began. You know, like people that I meet people on Zoom who are on the same page about coveting. I meet people for like work. I talk to like my relatives on Zoom most of the time. So it's like, yeah, how do you start new relationships if you don't go to, you know, in-person hangouts? And how do you start a new community in this respect? That's a hard question. And my advice is just build it and they will come. So just like pick some outdoor venue, start in the summer when it's nice weather, pick some outdoor venue where you don't have to pay rent and just invite, you know, 2 or 3 people there, and then they'll invite their friends. And people find out about this event from some people from their friends, people from social media. It's like, it's really hard to really find COVID cautious people. We do have COVID meetups, but it's not very efficient, I would say. Not everybody is on it and stuff like that. So just, yeah, like my advice is just start with 5 people and then they invite their friends and it becomes 10. But don't wait until you know 10 people. Don't wait until you have co-organizers. Just do it and then they will come. One inspiration for me here is this movie Creep Camp, which talks about some kids who have wheelchair users who met together in a camp and they could make this strong in-person bond. And then later they campaigned for their American Disability Act. Like, you know, so, but it started with them being meeting in person and doing something together. So just start meeting with 2 or 3 people and then more people will join you. That's my advice.
The one thing comes to my mind. So you said the word will spread and you, of course, make it publicly on social media and other channels. Have you been afraid that the word might spread to people that you maybe don't want to have at the event? I think there are a lot of people will be afraid if they tell it publicly, then aggressive people my job, positive people my job, just to try to make it in and maybe spread COVID on purpose. Such things pop up in my mind, and I probably guess in a lot of other minds that just listen now. Have you had such occasions, or is this just a horror story that I'm not making up somehow?
No, there's somebody on Twitter who actually used to be a mask wearer, and then they kind of switched, and now they just like troll all the masking stuff, and they like went for a guide and like, you know, like took some photos from there and like, you know, they tried to make some kind of fun of it. Yeah, that's something. I always troll on Twitter, but this is like normal on Twitter, just the tax that you pay by being there. And we do have a screening for our events, just for that. Like, if we don't know you, if we never met you on Zoom, then we meet you online for 5 minutes on a video call. We've never declined anybody after the video call. Some people declined to come on a video call with us. And that is a nice filter. Somebody who has bad intentions normally just don't want to come to a video call. They just want to find the address. And the address is only after this call, only 2 days before an event. So it's like, we do have some precautions like that already. But we don't screen you for how careful you are, because it's a spectrum. I don't care about that. I only screen you if you have good intentions or not. That's really what the screen is for. And somehow just asking somebody to turn on the camera is enough of a screen for that. Normally people want to stay anonymous.
That was also a question that I had. So I know that you make the events in a way public. I mean, you don't share the address of the venue in the public announcement, but you make it public. So do you get at least, even if they don't show up, aggressive messages or something like this, that you do these kind of events?
I mean, we did get lots of, you know, like sarcastic comments on Twitter. Yeah. I didn't get any messages.
Okay.
Yeah. Just people making fun of this on Twitter and how really in 2024, you know, wearing masks.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I mean, that's all Twitter.
Normal stuff. You know? Yeah, exactly. That's Twitter. Like,
yeah.
But nothing's specific, like no messages on other channels apart from that one. It's also a bit upsetting. Like, for example, if the venues put it on their mailing list, maybe people would come who are not on COVID Twitter. That would be nice, you know, but just because they know the venue. So it was like, yeah, like I wish it would have been easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you really wish to have more people at the events?
Yeah. I want to keep the events safe as they are, but make them bigger. And make them easy to copy in other places,
mm-hmm.
and make it easier to volunteer, that the procedures are very clear. You can just drop in, drop out, like do an hour. People with low spoons can also volunteer. People with like children can volunteer. Like, yeah, like making volunteering easy, also more sustainable. Right now, it's all kind of tied up to me, and I would like to make it more for community effort. And that's actually quite hard, as it turns out. Like community is the hardest part of open source software development. It turns out to be also the hardest part here. Harder than all the logistics, like, you know, finding ways to collaborate with people and like, you know, that they're all on the same page. Like somebody wearing a mask, it's like a sugar high. Like you really like, it's so amazing. This person also wearing a mask, and then you get to know them and it's like, okay, they're different than this and they're different than that. And this becomes just like real life. There's only that many people that I really like and want to collaborate with and want to be friends with or and stuff like that. But these events allow for that. At least like I can get to build new relationships deeper, not just live off things I created pre-pandemic.
So what kind of people would join the events? Are there more, I don't know, people in their 30s or 40s, or do you have a broader age range coming to your events? But
we also have different events. We have like board games is one crowd, you know, techno party is another crowd.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. It's not the same kind of people coming to all the events. You see different faces, even though they are masked, but you see different faces popping up depending on the event that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody would say like, yeah, I'm not interested in techno, but I'll come just to volunteer, like to be the bouncer or to like set up air filters and then I'll leave. Yeah. But some people come to everything. Some people come to only some events. Like, I would, like, the new venue has a playground, so, like, I really want to use it and have an event for children.
Yeah.
But it means it will start early, probably 12. So it means that volunteers who do testing need to wake up early. It's like, how do we actually do this stuff and support each other in different ways?
So do you already have a date for that?
Yeah, for the kids event, we don't have it. But, for example, our 10th of March event starts at 2 p.m. because it's a Sunday board games thing. So if kids want to be there, that's really good. There's still like 4 hours of daylight. Yeah, we can definitely include them. It's not too late. And then 13th of April, we have a techno party in a new venue with a disco ball, which we can't disable if it's an issue for some people. It's an access need. Yeah, so we'll have our, and it starts at 6 p.m. and it goes Saturday and it goes like on a, until late. So it's actually dark in the techno club, how it should be.
How do you manage the topic of drinking and eating?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Some different things, when you actually, like, this is not Twitter, like, this is real life. So different things happen there. So it turns out that indoor masking means different things to different people. We didn't know this before. But when we actually meet together, we can figure out what are the actually common in-person norms are there. For some people, indoor masking means it's okay to have a beer in one hand, pull the mask down with the other hand, take a sip, and put it back on. You know? You know, and same thing with a cup of tea. Like, they think it's indoor masking because they think it's fine. And we had to, like, agree what does indoor masking actually mean. That, okay, like, first time I saw it, I didn't say anything because, like, okay, like, I just didn't explain it. And they were far away from everybody, the air filters. Like, I didn't say anything the first time. I didn't want to, like, create a conflict situation. And next time we explain it better, they say, like, indoor masking means drinking is outside. Like, this is a designated place for drinking, you know. And this is good. Like, I think this is just creating these norms together as an in-person community. I don't judge them because it's they've never seen this before.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect. I like what you say. I mean, when I was thinking about having a techno party and you just said it's, you know, everybody's sweating and so on. So you need to drink at least, even if it's not alcohol or whatever. But you need to drink. Yeah. To serve your body. And so, obviously for me, it's clear because in the office, for example, I always sit there 8 hours with my mask and I go to the outside or I open my window if nobody's around and I have a sip there in the fresh air coming in. But it's it's interesting. Not everybody thinks the same way. Yeah. But creating those rules and making it transparent for everybody, I think this will lead to acceptance, obviously, because I would judge our community that we have with people COVIDing is quite open for adapting to each other's expectations needs, I would say. Yeah.
Do you have some flyers for that? So that's the entry flyer explaining what indoor masking means and how good Swaptainic is, and the oh damn, your positive flyer, that's what you should do now to keep the people informed, or is it just by word at the moment?
I mean, we have this 15-page guide. It contains many things. There's an event page which just lists the main precautions about what's going to happen there, that you should consent to swab yourself and give us the swab stick. Like, that's a condition of entry, which is not always, some people do not read it somehow, and it says that on the event page. But yeah, like, we don't have a flow chart as in like what happens at what time. Like, we could explain it much better. That is true. But like, organizing an event, there's like infinite amount of ways to make it better. Like, yeah, like, we definitely need more somebody with social media expertise, somebody with graphic design expertise. Yeah, like, we have good people in Berlin. Like, Berlin Buyers Club does amazing graphic design stuff, but they're busy. They have their own agenda. They're serving the long COVID community. They're very happy with our events organizing it, and some of their carers, somebody caring for long COVID person would really want to come to our event, but they still have their own agenda to do. And this is great.
Yeah. Shout out to the listener. If you want to help or you are a graphic designer or anything, if you want to volunteer, contact Lev.
Yeah. Social media person as well.
Very, very good point. Yeah. And, I, I just have a question in regards to Eva. So being in Hamburg, and I at least I know of a handful of people coming from Hamburg who are always still always COVIDing. So do you have also your own community in Hamburg who could adapt to these kind of events, which you bring experience to them from Berlin, or?
Actually, we moved.
So okay.
I'm not in Hamburg anymore. We tried to establish like play meetings and stuff on COVID meetups, but as everyone has experienced, people are not really active, or they don't get a notification that someone wrote them and stuff. So we haven't really managed to establish a community here. But I'm now that I know like how a meeting could happen, I'm definitely up for organizing more. It just hasn't worked contacting people in this area yet.
Yeah.
And actually, we're considering moving to Berlin just because we already have an established community there. But yeah, that's not how it works for a lot of people who are just like desperate to find someone at their established living space where they already are.
Imagine if there's a school, how many people would move there? There was a COVID-safe primary school.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was just joking that in Bremen, there's like a COVID-safe Kita, and I'm like, yeah, but I would consider moving there just for that, for the connections to other people organizing spaces for kids. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the key points, yeah, that you have a safe environment for kids. This is something that we in Bavaria look out for, and it's quite hard at least to find something, except if it's a how is it called a forest kindergarten, yeah. then you'll be fine more or less.
I want to talk about the future, like our future plans. Like the summer is coming. And it would be really nice to organize a summer event which is longer than just 4 hours. Like some multi-day event in the summer would be awesome. Because our community is so diverse, it will be something mixture of, you know, children-friendly camping and Chaos Computer Club and Burning Man, you know, all together around, you know, 30 people. Camping and or maybe living in some large, like, you know, individual bungalows or tents and like some mansion, and like there's somebody who has a big property outside of Berlin and we are talking to them, and even has a swimming pool, so like maybe would organize something like this. That would be quite nice.
It's like a like a COVID safe festival then, yeah. So
yeah, COVID fest. Yeah.
Yeah. But the good one.
Exactly. One which has no COVID on it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, you should call it the testival, as you all do the testing before.
Testival.
Testival, yeah.
Yeah, so and
you need to copyright.
Uh-huh.
Copyright it real quick, or someone will steal that idea from you really quickly.
Maybe you should cut it out.
The good jokes.
So this will happen this summer.
I don't know yet. I want it to happen, but I don't yet. The main, when I bring it up to people, the main thing that comes up for them is travel. Mm-hmm. You know, like I have to travel there from somewhere, you know, like getting on, like some people don't own cars. So for them, it's hard to travel. Like that's what really comes up for them. So, okay, if that's not going to happen, then we're going to get a big, you know, T4. With some HEPA filters and loudspeakers and the DJ and the musician, and we'll go on tour. You know, so we'll come to you. They're like, bring your three friends in your 100-kilometer area, and we'll have a party there. And once you know us, maybe next year you'll come to our festival. Yeah. You know, that's the idea. So yeah, if that doesn't happen, we'll probably be here. You know, save our Berlin on tour edition, going around Germany and Switzerland and, you know, Austria.
That would be great. Yeah.
Just knowing that you exist and that you were organizing these events already. I mean, this was over the last month also so encouraging for me. Although I never visited such events, but just knowing that you are doing it, I don't know, a really, really healing sort of. So you know what I mean, I think.
Yeah, it's the opposite of isolating.
Yeah,
that was the original idea. Yeah. To not feel isolated.
So thank a lot, Eva and Lev, for being on the show here today. And it was really a pleasure, I think, for all of us to chat with you and talk with you and hear your ideas. Especially the one for the next summer. I like it very much. Hopefully I can make it to that kind of event. And maybe we can then have a live podcast from the festival. really refreshing to see that you can turn this situation also into something somehow positive, and hopefully others will also try to copy it, even if it's not in Germany, maybe somewhere else in the world, and do these kind of community things. So thanks again, and maybe any last words from the others.
Yeah, as I said, it's really encouraging, and I'm already making plans for my city now. And I will read the resources that you already wrote and put up. Thank you.
Yeah, really, thanks for being here. I think it's so important to show that COVIDing doesn't mean isolating. And there are many, many ways to still meet up in some safe forums and have fun there. And I'm really looking forward that hopefully someone is copying such events in a big city that I can reach better than Berlin. And otherwise, there will be a day where I will show up in Berlin, of course, just to join there and have fun. So thanks for being here.
Was denn?
Twix.
Twix? Oh Gott, ey. Auf jeden Fall kann man jetzt ungefähr unser Alter zuordnen. Ich wollte gerade sagen,
Boomer-Humor, okay, kann man schon mal. Aber hast du getäuscht, das sind keine Boomer.
Ha! Alter, Leute.
So, ich kann es auch rausnehmen.
Nein, lass es drin.
Twix ist doch witzig, ey. Das ist doch witzig. Twix. Ja. Gut.